There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You're listening to Drive Live, and we're talking all about mentors.
Drive Live talks careers.
We have two guests in the studio today. A warm welcome to Amira Al-Alama, who's a MD of ALF Administration.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me back.
No problem. We've also got Rebecca Kelly from Morgan & Lewis. Rebecca, great to see you.
Great to see you too.
We're going to talk a lot about mentors. And Tim and I were sort of racking our brains thinking, have we had mentors? What was our experience like? Because that's what we're asking other people. How did a mentorship work out for you, either as the mentor or the mentee? So if you have a story about this, get in touch 4001 or via the free messaging app, and we can share your stories. Or if it's a question, we can put it to either of the two guests. And just on that subject, Rebecca is here, and she's going to be talking all things mentor, but she is a lawyer and she's here to answer your questions. So we're going to kick off with one question that we've had come in for you, Rebecca, already. And this one's anonymous. And they want to ask this question. We'll do this and then we'll move on to our topic today. It says, if you work, Rebecca, in a company under a group of companies, would that mean even if you have been employed under one of its branches, you are as well considered as an employee of the parent company and can be legally working in it, despite the fact that on paper, the branch is a separate declared location?
Well, it all depends who your employment contract is actually with. And under the laws in this jurisdiction, what you have is that you are limited to work for just your employer. So if, for example, you are working for a company with its parent company based in the United States of America, for example, the relationship that you have with your branch company here would not give rise to an employment relationship with the parent company in the United States. The only exception to that rule would be if you had originally worked for that company and you were out here for a specific period of time or a specific project with the idea that you were seconded here with a view to be moving back to that parent company. But even though a branch is by its very nature and definition a branch of something else, your employment contract is with that branch and therefore you are employed only by that branch.
Okay, so if you do have a question for Rebecca, if it's of a legal nature outside of the mentor, of an employment nature, you can text us 4001, call us 4231010, and we'll be coming back to those questions a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to be looking at mentorship. So mentors, what have we learned from them? What is it like to be a mentor? I guess, you know, there's an argument, it must be great. Being a mentor is fantastic because you learn skills, but you're also passing your skills on. Amira, would you say it's really important that people arriving maybe in a new company, in a new job, have someone that can be there and support them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important to have a mentor. Also, but I use that term very broadly because sometimes it can go to people's heads and they can think, you know, I've been here for, like, say, 10 years and I can impart my wisdom as much as I want, and whether it's right or wrong, and they just feel like entitled. Mm. Whereas I think if specifically just having someone there to guide you and not be patronizing and kind of just getting you to feel, get your feet wet, understand what's going on in the business, I think it's always great to have someone there to help you.
And Rebecca, it's obviously great to have some support if you're new to the company or even new to the field. If you have someone that's newly qualified, they're coming to a company like yours, you want to make sure that the person mentoring it is doing a good job. It's not a case of this is where we make the tea, this is where we make the coffee. You want to make sure it's effective mentoring too.
It does have to be effective. And when I think about mentoring within the legal community, what I'm looking at is what kind of programs do law firms offer their recruits, because that's actually the best way. We're finding that actually candidates are asking us about our mentoring program.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because when you are, you know, when you're in university and then you're thrown into your professional life, it can be very daunting. And so at different stages of your career, you will actually look for a different type of mentor. Mm-hmm. And at the early stages of your career, the mentor may be more like a buddy. It may be somebody a couple of years your senior who is actually going to guide you through those couple of first years. But then as you develop in your career, you're going to look for somebody more senior who perhaps it's somebody you admire, perhaps it's somebody that you have seen excel. And there are a lot of reasons to identify, self-identify who your mentor might be.
And Amira, would you say, if you are going to take on this role of mentor, you have to really think about the implications in terms of your own time and how that might affect how you can do your own job.
Exactly. And not only just looking about how it would affect me, it's also if I'm overworked and overtired, then how of an asset am I to the person I'm supposed to be mentoring? So I think people always need to make sure that they have ample amount of time to give to somebody else, because what you're trying to impart is not only wisdom, but it's just also a listening ear if those people have issues or, you know, guidance that they would need. And if you're stretched too thinly, you just won't give them the amount of time and dedication that they deserve.
Whose responsibility is it to, is it the responsibility of a new employee in a company to seek out a mentor? Is it the responsibility of a company to provide mentorship? Because this, it's a phrase that to many people is a new phrase, mentorship. It's kind of the last 15, 20 years or so. Is it something that should just be expected? But where does it start, do you think, Rebecca?
I believe that individuals coming into a career, if we're talking about the junior sort of lawyers, let's say, I think it's incumbent on the employer to provide them with a formal mentoring program in which they feel safe, they feel comfortable, and they're able to share their feedback about the organisation and about how their career is being developed, etc. But as you move forward and you've got a little bit of experience, I don't know whether or not it would be up to the company or the individual to actually self-select. I think that not everybody even needs a mentor. Not everybody wants a mentor. But it's about learning something from somebody else. So there doesn't need to be a formal program in place in a company in order for you to learn from your colleagues or indeed your clients. So and different people have different needs when it comes to what kind of training and expectations they have around training in their position. So I think that, you know, if you are a driven individual, you've probably already identified somebody in the organisation who you believe you can learn a lot from. Whether or not you go and knock on their door and say, I want you to be my mentor, is one thing, or whether or not you just spend time making sure that you're observing what it is that they do well and taking away some lessons from that.
Okay, we're going to stay with this conversation about mentoring. We want to hear your experiences, good or bad. Let us know what happened to you, 4001 or via the free messaging app.
Drive Live talks careers.
We are talking careers today. Our guests, Amira Al-Alama, who is the MD of ALF Administration, and Rebecca Kelly, who's a partner at Morgan and Lewis. We were talking about mentorship and how it's worked out for you. And we have just a quick question for you, Rebecca, that's come in. This one says this, no name on this one. It says, my wife's got a new job as a doctor. She's on my sponsorship and she has got a DHA license processed, but the clinic is delaying processing her labour card. She has already started working. Are there any legal risks for her?
The legal risks actually lie with the employer, so the clinic should be doing everything that they can to ensure that she has a proper labour contract in place, which would guarantee her labour card. The onus would be put back on the clinic. Certainly after she has got her DHA licence, the company has made a representation to the DHA that she is lawfully working there, so they need to hurry up and get that labour card issued as soon as possible, because they could be subject to fines.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones now. We've had a text message and we've been talking about mentors, and Gerald is on the line now. Gerald, what was your point about a mentor?
Yes, good evening. Hi.
Hi.
Good evening, everyone. My mentor I text is Donald Trump. Now, this is not, just to put your mind at ease, this is not a political statement, but I founded my own media business in 2005 in Dubai. And before that, I read his two books. One is How to Get Rich and the other is Think Like a Billionaire. And both books provide so much advice, valuable piece of advice, which helped me until today to keep my business running.
Well, first of all, Gerald, congratulations on having a long-running business.
Amazing.
Quite an achievement.
Thank you.
But Amira, would you say, you know, if there's a book that's inspired you, is that the same as having a mentor, maybe?
I don't think it's the same. I mean, but I'm very, it's a great, great that you have achieved all that, and I'm very happy. And I think that's great that a book has influenced you and has got a lot of tips and techniques. I think what an author writes, or whoever's written that book, I'm not sure if Donald Trump, but whoever's written that book would give you great advice to help you move forward. And I think that's just what you take out of it. It's the same way if I watch somebody on TV and I enjoy what they're saying or I learn from it, I wouldn't necessarily call them my mentor. Great, amazing that you got that from the book.
And Rebecca, would you sort of say, you know, it's the same thing, it's about what you extract from, whether it's a book or a personality or a style of running a business perhaps?
And, you know, everybody will read those books. Anybody that has read those books has probably taken away different messages. And the key to a mentoring relationship is that actually the mentor and the mentee are engaged. So unless you've had, and I don't mean it in any disrespectful way, but unless you've had conversations with Donald Trump about your own business in that sort of conversational way that somebody has invested the time in you as you have with them, then actually I think if we're trying to define what a mentoring relationship is, this wouldn't be it. What I would say this is that you have learnt a lot from the books, and you've been able to effectively put into practice what he has preached in those books, which is testament to you more so than actually a mentoring relationship with the author.
Gerard, can I ask you what stands out from the two books that you've mentioned there? What did you take? Is there any one piece of advice that you hold dear now?
Yes, excellent. Just quickly coming back to Rebecca's point, yes, it was not really written by Donald Trump. It's also co-authored by Meredith McIvor. Mm. Now, the key takes I had learned was, one is be tenacious, because many people start a business and then they give up, they get exhausted like a marathon runner who gives up at kilometer 10. But you have to keep going. You have to sacrifice weekends and so on. The other is timing is important in business. Of course, don't call people on a Thursday evening with a business offer when people are exhausted from the week and they want to go just home to see the families in the weekend. So the writing style is important, but also the messages are very concise and very short. And the two are, as I mentioned, is be tenacious, and also timing is important, business manners and so on.
Well, Gerard, thank you so much for calling, and continued success in your business.
Thank you very much, Natalie, Tim, everyone. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard.
I guess that's, you know, what it comes down to, what your experience is, whether it's a mentor that you see face to face, maybe once a week, once a month, or if it's maybe even a distance mentor. Some people use emails and sort of can have a mentor relationship remotely. I guess, I mean, Amira, starting with you, did you have a mentor when you started out?
I did. Even before I started my business, it was when I was studying. I had one of my professors. She had written an amazing book. Her name was Esther Madriz. She's passed away now, and she wrote something about reforming rather than punishing the prisoner. Mm. And it really opened up my eyes to think about just different ideas in terms of even my own life. When I make a mistake, I always used to think, you know, I'd punish myself, or I'd punish the people around me for why did I do that, and I, you know. And after just listening to her and reading her books and understanding from just having those conversations with her that it was okay to make mistakes, and as long as I understood how to change things and understood how to help and get help. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, that was one of the most significant mentors I've ever had in my life.
And Rebecca, do you have any personal experience of having a mentor or being a mentor?
I do have experience of both. I think one of the most important parts, though, of having a mentor is recognising that the role of a mentor, either as yourself, if you are the mentor, or if you are relying on somebody else to be a mentor, changes over time. A mentor relationship isn't for life, but some of the messages that you will learn and some of the experiences that you will share are for life. So I think certainly in my career, I've had many, many mentors. I've had many people that I've worked with that I have had the utmost respect for, and that I have learned an awful lot about managing both personal life and professional life. So I believe that actually one of the one of the problems people face is they're looking for that dream mentor. I don't think that that dream mentor exists in one person, and I think that you can actually learn a lot from different people. But if you're looking for a specific set of skills or a specific example or experience, then you may identify with one person.
And so not every case, the mentor that you're looking to or that person that you look up to or admire, they may not be aware that they're mentoring you.
Right.
I suppose
right.
Very often
right.
It's just, well, maybe I can take facets of that particular approach
exactly.
to a problem or try and adapt my personality to mirror that, because that's an effective way of dealing with a situation,
exactly.
Amira, I suppose.
That's so true. That's so correct.
Okay.
Sometimes you just don't realize you're mentoring someone, and then, you know, a few years down the line, they come up to you and say, you know, it was something that you said or did that impacted their lives.
Do you think some people are naturally kind of aligned to being a mentor? It's just there's a natural talent there that, you know, just appears, that they're just more, I don't know, more open with people, more?
Some people are more receptive to taking on responsibilities for other people's careers other than their own. Mm. And I think that that is the differentiator. If you are somebody who is wholly and solely focused on yourself and your own development, then it's unlikely that you are a great candidate to mentor others. But certainly in a formal mentoring program I'm talking about, you really want to be able to identify with people that have got that are receptive to teaching and sharing their knowledge and their experiences.
Yeah. And Amira, what would you say the benefits are of if someone's maybe thinking about being a mentor? So maybe they're, you know, a few years into their career, maybe settled in a company, know their job well. What would you say are sort of the benefits to you personally being a mentor and sharing some of those skills?
I mean, it's very gratifying to see that, you know, because if you put it aside and you don't think this is your success and you think that you're going to help somebody achieve their success, it's really amazing to see that. But I think it's something great that you had touched on, Tim, was about how you have to be receptive to it. So a mentee has to be accepting to the fact that somebody's there to guide them, because we don't want to be patronizing and just, you know, being some sort of person on top of them with always lecturing them, because then they're just not going to take it in.
I mean, that's partly the approach, isn't it, of the mentor. It's very easy when you've been in a role for a while and the young buck comes in, and, you know, to be overbearing or to be patronizing. Yeah. That happens, and you have to recognize that. But it is also about the attitude of the mentee, the young buck coming into the job, who is qualified, has been given the job. You're given a job because you can do a job. So why do you have to learn anything? And it's natural to assume that, you know, I'm here, so I don't need you, Mr. Mentor. Isn't that normal?
That's definitely what happens a lot of the times. And it also happens with the older person that's been in there for a while, thinking, well, why do I have to impart my wisdom and knowledge to this younger person who essentially could take my job one day? You know, so I think it's how you view yourself, I think, to be honest. If you feel that, you know, it's you don't hold it against somebody else having more success, or because you never know, when you mentor someone, they might end up exceeding you, and they might your expectations, they might end up, you know, doing really well.
I should have said Mr. or Mrs. Mentor there, by the way. I apologize.
We'll let you off. But it's interesting, because as we were talking about this topic today, Tim, you said, oh, well, you know, I couldn't be mentored and I wouldn't be interested.
You fell into that NLT impression of Tim there. Oh, well, didn't you? Just for a moment.
Talk.
I know.
But, I mean, you said you were sort of, you wouldn't listen, but you actually do listen. And you are actually asked sometimes. People value your opinion when
Bizarrely.
It comes to tech. You know, people are interested in what you have to say. You've been around for a while. So
I don't know whether this is becoming a compliment or not.
Oh, wait till we're waiting for it.
This is as nice as it gets, Rebecca.
But you said, did you have a mentor? And I said, well, no, I didn't. And then it dawned on me. And it honestly dawned on me when I think the business headlines were on. And it dawned on me that I did have a mentor. And it hadn't occurred to me. And it wasn't a... It certainly wasn't an official relationship, but it's over 20 years ago, and I was working in a newsroom, and the news editor, whose name is Nigel Googe, by the way, and he's not listening, I know that, but he was one of those people that would work at the speed of light, and he just knew the job inside out. So he'd be calling an MP, a member of parliament, getting a quote, and I learned an enormous amount from working with him in this environment that was just chaos. But it all kind of came together for the bulletin that we were doing, and I realise now that actually he was one of those people who naturally just said, I do this, there's your razor blade, there's your tape, splice, quick, cut that, quick, do that, and I just learned it, and still know it.
People listening aren't going to realise you're talking about radio. We're cutting radio tape.
Talking about splicing tape. Yes, exactly.
Those were the days when it was cranking round and it was cut.
There you go.
Anyway, we're going to continue talking about mentors. If you have a question for either of our guests, if it's of a legal nature, Rebecca can answer it. If not, Amira will be very interested in answering your questions to 4001 via the free messaging app. And we are talking careers. Our focus at the minute is on mentorship. You know, what should a mentor offer? What shouldn't a mentee do? How do you make that relationship dynamic work? Now, Amira, tell us a little bit about the work that you do, because obviously mentorship and looking after other people and their interests is at the heart of it.
Yeah, that's exactly, you're correct. What we do right now, one of the most that I'm so proud of part of my company is where we focus on women that are divorced or widowed, and we get them back into the workforce. And these women, we constantly try to find people to mentor them because I think that they absolutely, absolutely benefit more than any entity, any students, anybody I've ever seen in my life. The amount of the women here they're so strong after going through such, you know, difficulties in life, and they come out of it so amazingly. They take into account what people tell them and they understand, and you know, it's a great relationship. And I've seen most of them tend to go on to having long life friendships with their mentor, and you know, it's a great opportunity.
And how important would you say the cultural fit is between mentor and mentee in terms of that relationship being beneficial and productive?
Yeah, I think it's an amazing thing now when we have the understanding of the culture, and our mentees and our mentors are from all over the world, so we don't discriminate. We don't have just nationals mentoring nationals, because we feel that the UAE population can learn from a lot of the expatriates in the country, and I think it's just a great way of getting both cultures to understand each other, and it just keeps an open mind, and you see such great benefits from this.
And Amira, would you say some of the big companies know how to talk to Emiratis, for example, or is that something that's progressing and coming along?
It's coming along really well. I mean, a lot of the things that we do now for large companies is that we come in there for the first year and sit with them while they go on talking to their nationals and to understand what issues they're facing and whatnot. And by the time we leave, they've established great, great ground rules, and they understand about the cultural differences. And I think it's a great, great new thing that's happening.
There's just one example we had here of someone that's had an unusual mentor, and this is Oprah Winfrey. She was mentored by author Maya Angelou, and it's kind of, it just goes to show you don't need a mentor who's in this exact same field as you, Rebecca. It's not like you need to have, as a lawyer, you need to have another lawyer as your mentor.
Exactly.
They can fall out of that frame.
Yeah, and it goes back to the point that I raised before, that you can have a career mentor or you can have a personal mentor, both of which provide you with guidance through your life. So it means that if you're looking for a career-specific mentor, then you will probably look within the sector that you're that you are working. But certainly just if anybody's aware of Maya Angelou's work, I mean, she's somebody that has influenced a lot of people, and it's more about that sort of guidance in life. And I doubt that she would have been able to mentor Oprah on her daily technical skills for her television show. But, I mean, it just means that you are constantly looking at and looking for different people in your life to influence what you're doing.
And Hussein's text in and said, evening all, are good leaders natural mentors, or should they be able to remain effective leaders? So I guess maybe if you're fantastic at your job and you're maybe a manager, does it always translate that you would be a good mentor, Amira?
I mean, not necessarily. It depends on, I think indirectly he could be a great mentor or she could be a great mentor without realizing, because if you're great at your job, people want to emulate that. So maybe indirectly. So I do agree. I mean, yeah.
I think personality plays into it as well. We can't sort of assume as well, like what you've just mentioned, a national employee may not necessarily want a mentor that is another national,
right,
or that certain nationalities are paired. And it's the same when it comes to gender. Just because you have a female in a position doesn't necessarily mean that the only mentor that they should be given is another female.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, there's another side to this as well, isn't there? If you think about it, it's the talent of bringing the two together, the mentor and the mentee. I don't know how you do that, because is that an art? Is that a science? Is that, I don't know, wizardry? I mean, to bring two people together who can benefit from one another, which is really what this relationship is. How do you do that, Amira? I mean, that's a tricky one.
One of the biggest challenges we had with one of the companies that we worked with, they had a lot of younger generation Emiratis who had joined in. We were talking about the age of 18 to 22, so very impressionable age, you know. And right off the bat, they assumed that the mentors that would suit them would be within the same community or same mindset and maybe just 10 or 15 years older. That did not work out at all because both sides had nothing in common. So when we approach the situation, I think what's very important before you set up a mentor and a mentee is to listen to both of them and find out as much information you can from both of them to see if they actually fit together. And find out people that can be paired together based on personalities, based on common interests, based on something that would tie them together in the beginning. Not necessarily have to be even the same, like Rebecca said, the same job front. It is just about having that connection.
Okay, just a final word from both of you on this. We've just had a breaking tweet from the Dubai Media Office. They're quoting His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President and Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai. The tweet says this. It says, the UAE cabinet endorsed a bill for the first legislation that ensures equal pay for men and women. Our constitution stressed gender equality and guarantees impartiality between men and women as a fundamental right. So, Rebecca, obviously from a legal perspective, sounds like bringing us into line with elsewhere.
Well, I think actually it probably brings us above the line when it comes to the way that the UAE has handled equality. And I know I've mentioned this before on this show that we've got a law in place that guarantees that both men and women are to be paid equally for the same job, and that's our labour law. So what this actually does is it sort of brings us in line perhaps with what other international countries need to be doing in order to ensure this impartiality, but when both men and women are being treated differently.
Anna Myra, you're a very successful working woman here. Great tweet to read.
It's a great tweet to read. And I mean, honestly, we're very fortunate here in the UAE as it is, you know, and this is a great, great step in the right direction. And as Rebecca said, it's hopefully a lot of places will follow suit.
Amazing. Great. Well, that's all we've got time for in Drive Live Talks Careers this week. A thank you to our guests, Rebecca Kelly, who's a partner at Morgan & Lewis. Rebecca, good to see you as always.
Great to see you both.
And Amira Al-Alama, MD of ALF Administration. Amira, great to see you again.
Great to see you guys. Thank you all.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.